sir, you too, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His ear is never closed to your cares and woes. God is just a prayer away.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. It is written, bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. It is written, it was meet to make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
For God is just a prayer away.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country. Faith of our fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly word and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
For God is just a prayer.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, The Far Country. The story of the prodigal son has been called the perfect story. This is true because the one who told this story was the perfect man. In fact, every story he ever told was a perfect story. Every sermon he ever preached was a perfect sermon. Every song he ever sang was a perfect song. Every prayer he ever prayed was a perfect prayer. This story was brought on by the statement, that all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. The Pharisees said, "This man receiveth sinners, and eats with them." They thought this was a put-down. This was a statement that was calculated to turn people off from Jesus. Actually, what they said was true. Jesus does receive sinners. In fact, sinners are the only ones he will receive. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Also, the charge about eating with sinners was true also. He does eat with sinners. I am a saved sinner, and I eat with him every Lord's Day during the Lord's Supper, and then eat of the bread of life by hearing the word of God. When it says he receives sinners, I rejoice, because I am in that bunch. Now a certain man had two sons. The younger of the two told his father that he wanted his inheritance right now. The father gave it to him. Normally in life, a father who would give his kid his inheritance at that stage would be making a big mistake. However, in this story, the father represents the heavenly father. So when the younger son asked for his inheritance, the father gave it to him. He did not give it to him out of love, but because he had no choice. A father has a grown son. He has made up his mind to go to the far country. What else is there to do but let him go? Actually, he was already in the far country long before his body followed. The Heavenly Father often deals with us the same way. When we make up our minds that we rebel against his word, he tells us like he told the prophet Balaam, "If that is what you want to do, go ahead. If you want to foul up your life, that is your choice. You're old enough to make your own decision. You are a free moral agent." So the story of this young man is a story of a young man who went to a far country. The far country is geographically, well, it's not geographically far away, but spiritually far away. You can be thousands of miles away geographically, but billions of light years away spiritually. He went to a far country. The far country is mentioned several times in Scripture. One place is the day the church began. Peter had preached the first gospel sermon regarding the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. When the believing thousands inquired what they must do, Peter told them, and then said that to them the promise was to their children and to all that were afar off. Paul mentioned those who were afar off in Ephesians 2:13, when he said that Jesus came and preached peace to them that were afar off and to them that were nigh. The Jews regarded Gentiles as afar off. So when Peter told the Pentecostal audience that to them was the promise, and to them that were afar off, the Holy Spirit included the Gentiles that would be told later on, that salvation through the Messiah was for them also that were afar off. But there's another statement, another element to the ones who were afar off. He also meant that those who were far off in time. The terms of pardon were given to those present on the day of Pentecost and their children, and to all that who would live years after them. The terms that Peter gave would be the same terms required for those who would live in the first century and for those who would live in the 21st century. The far country is the place where everyone lives in any generation, in any century, any country, that has not accepted the Lord as their Savior according to the terms Peter gave the day the church began. The far country is so named because any person who lives there is as far away from God as they can ever get. They are as far away from heaven as they can get, and they are as close to hell as they can get. Actually, geographically, you don't have to travel very far to go to the far country. You may live under the same roof with a person who is nigh, and yet be in a far country yourself. I know of children who are in the Father's house, and their parents live in the far country, under the same roof. Sometimes parents are in the Father's house, and the children live under the same roof, and are in a far country at the same time. What then was life like in the far country? Life in the far country was different from the prodigal son than at home. In the far country, he wasted his inheritance and was bankrupt. Any person in the far country is wasting his life. You may be wealthy, famous, educated, a philosopher, scientist, astronaut, and still be a resident of the far country, wasting your life. Jesus said, "Except ye believe in me, ye shall die in your sins." What a horrible waste of life. What a horrible waste of time, talent, and money to live without Christ. This young man spent all and was in want, and no man gave unto him. No man gave unto him because no man had anything to give. What message does the atheist have for a person who has just received the news that he has a terminal cancer and has 6 months to live? They have nothing to give, absolutely nothing. No man gave unto him. What message does the pornographer have for the woman with a dead baby in her lap? They have nothing to give, absolutely nothing. No man gave unto him. What message of substance does the liberal person, liberal preacher, have other than a warm, fuzzy feeling that has no real substance as far as the gospel is concerned? They have nothing to give. No man gave unto him because men have nothing to give. Without a thus saith the Lord, their story of Jesus is more like Grimm's fairy tales. No man gave unto him. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That is the best the devil can do for those who have gone to the far country. Actually, the prodigal son developed a taste for the food of the pig pen. He fain would have filled his belly with the husk the swine did eat. Many folk today are like that prodigal son. They have a yearning to eat in the pig pen. What better way to describe most of the slop of television sitcom fare? Most of the movies people see and dote on are sophisticated hog slop. People are impressed with these well-dressed, suave players with the latest hairstyles, never wearing the same outfit twice, getting huge salaries, looking so debonair. So they are very convincing to the weak-minded American when they speak in favor of abortion and perversion. But then one day, we are told, he came to himself. One day, while slopping the sophisticated hogs, a wonderful thing happened. He came to himself. One version says he came to his senses. He admitted that he must have been spiritually insane to leave the Father's house. How about you? Many a person will say on that great day of judgment, I must have been out of my mind to live as I lived on earth. One of these days we will all run out of time, but we will never, never, never run out of eternity. Think of it, there is bread enough and to spare. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that eats this bread shall live forever. There is always bread enough and to spare. Think of the feeding of the 5,000. There was bread enough and to spare. 12 basketfuls left over. What a miracle! Think of the feeding of the 4,000. There was bread enough and to spare. 7 basketfuls left over. Think of both miracles together. 9,000 fed of the bread enough and to spare. And then think of the feeding of the 3,000. The 3,000 on the day of Pentecost ate the bread of life and were satisfied, and there was enough left over to feed them and their children, and also enough all that were afar off. Bread enough and to spare. The statement of Jesus about being the bread of life has overtones of the Lord's Supper. Think about it. If there are 500 cups prepared and only a third show up, there was bread enough and to spare. What a documentary on most of the membership who are at home or wherever they are, swelling what Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians 10:21, when he said, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons at the same time. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. There is bread enough and to spare. However, one day the prodigal son decided to come home. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned before heaven and in thy sight. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, make me, not make me a son again, but make me a hired servant. But when he came home, the father forgave him. The father not only forgave him, he also gave him. God forgives, and then he gives. The father forgave his son, and then gave his son a robe, a ring, shoes, and the fatted calf. God says when he forgives that he will give you something. He gives you the gift of forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. God forgives, and then God gives. That is what Peter said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He also said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not only does God forgive, he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, but he also gives you the hope of heaven. God forgives, and God gives. These statements given when, like the prodigal son, we place ourselves under the authority of the Lord. It was only then that he received the robe, the ring, the shoes, and the fatted calf. It was only then that he received the seal, ate the veal, and danced the reel. Do-si-do, and away we go. They began to be merry. And now let the party begin. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That means they had a celebration. Making merry is the story of the life of the Christian. Many years ago, I confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and was immersed for the remission of sins. And ladies and gentlemen, I have been making merry, celebrating ever since. I have lived. I have been whooping it up all my life. Perhaps some might wonder, haven't you been through any rough times in the Lord's service? Well, yes. Paul said in Romans 5, verses 3 through 6, we have peace with God. And not only so, we rejoice also in our tribulations. For tribulations worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. For hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given to us. For while we were weak in the flesh, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. And so whatever comes up, I feel like that piano player who was criticized as not being a very good musician, but who said he laughed all the way to the bank. Well, I have been merry, and although there have been some tribulations on the pathway of life, through it all, I have been laughing all the way to heaven, and they began to be merry. Everybody, that is, except the elder brother. He was angry and would not go in. The elder brother was in the field. When he came to the house, he heard music and dancing. He listened carefully and said, sounds like they're singing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And then he listened again, and he said, it sounds like they're singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found, was blind, and now I see. I don't think when he heard the music that they were bellowing out the ballads of Beelzebub. When he heard of the arrival of his younger brother, he was angry and would not go in. The elder brother has many relatives today. I could tell you of many members of the Lord's church who are angry and will not go in. But relatives of the elder brother today have a family resemblance. The elder brother lost no sleep over the lost condition of his brother. Many a member leaves the father's house today, and his departure is never noticed. Many a person has told me that after missing a few Sunday services, the elders or the preachers never inquire as to where they have gone. Most folk could leave most of our churches and their departure would not even be noticed. Nobody cares. Does it ever bother you to look around and notice the absence of any of the other members? Did it ever occur that they may have gone to the far country? The elder brother is like many also in that he was miserable in his service. He was in the field working like he was supposed to do. He had never done anything inconsistent with the lifestyle of the father, but he was unhappy. He found no fulfillment in his relationship with the father. Some today find the Christian life a drudge. Their attitude may be, how many services do I have to attend? And how much do I have to give? How much do I have to pray? Is reading the Bible necessary? I don't understand it anyway. The story of the prodigal son is a story of two sons who went to the far country. One left home and went to the far country, and the other stayed home and went to the far country. Sometimes for the hymn of decision, the gospel song is used. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Usually we might look around as we sing and see if some prodigal is responding to the invitation. Actually, it might be a good thing to sing that song for the members of the church. Many an elder brother needs to come home, too. Many an elder brother needs to say, I will rise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Remember, the Lord will forgive, and the Lord will give. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, and until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow, and in some way that God is just a prayer away. Oh.